And I'm excited for our message today, our time together. And I've entitled the message, The God We Serve. The God We Serve. I want to remind us today just how big our God is and that we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Sometimes the things we go through can begin to pull down, tear away at our faith in God. Sometimes the circumstances of life can cause us to begin to have faith that is diminished. But that doesn't change the fact that our God is very big and that He's awesome and that He loves us, that He's for us and not against us. And so today I'm praying that this is going to encourage you and inspire you. But firstly, I just want to encourage you all, church. I think you're awesome. I really do. I love doing church. I love Sundays. I love coming here. I love you all. I love preparing for Sundays. I love getting a word from God. I love delivering it to you. I love our time together of worship. I love our time of communion. I love our time of fellowship afterwards and all the things that we do Monday through to Sunday. I love it. I love that we are a community that's impacting the world around us. Like, there's so much stuff going on throughout the week. Sometimes I think, man, there are so many different things for people to be a part of. And it's good, because we're not a museum, are we? We are a local church. Yeah. And I love that. And so, thank you. Thanks for coming on Sunday. Thanks for getting out of bed. Thanks for not hugging your pillow for that little bit longer. Thank you for being a group of people that are for not only yourselves, but for each other. And you're for the world around you. And so good on you. I love doing church. And can I encourage you, if you are struggling with church a little bit, can I just give you a couple of words? Just enjoy church. Enjoy being Christian. Enjoy what the Lord has done for you. Enjoy the now. Enjoy what's to come. Because God is so good. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, the God we serve. Let me pray, and we're going to go through a couple of passages together, but our core passage today is going to be from Luke, his letter to us, and we're going to look at the faith of the Roman centurion. It's going to be really cool, but let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it is alive and active, and today, Lord, we just submit to a time with You, with Your word. Lord, let it do something in us today. Let it cause us to be inspired. Let it cause us to be challenged, to be encouraged, Lord. God, today when we walk out, I pray that our faith would increase. Lord, that our picture of You would be bigger. Lord, that there'd be fresh revelation or maybe a reminder, Lord, of what You have done for us in time past. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me start today again with a joke. It goes like this. All right, a Sunday school teacher asked her class, if you had $1 million, would you give some to the poor? The kids collectively, with a massive resounding gusto, said yes. The teacher was super impressed. And so she then asked, well, if you had 2 houses? Yes. What about if you had 2 lollipops? The little boy hesitated. No, I actually have 2 lollipops. It's true, isn't it? Faith is easy in theory, but it's harder when it's real. Faith isn't really faith until it costs us something. You think about that. It's easy to say we'd trust God if we had more, but we've been called to trust God even with what's already in our hands. The only reason that kind of faith makes sense is because of who our God is. Who are we placing our faith in? Who are we trusting? He's the creator of the heavens and earth. The one who holds it all together. The one who spoke it into existence just with a word. He is the one that we are placing our faith in. And that's where I want to start today, by reminding us of the greatness of the God we serve. Before we talk about faith, first we need to see who it is we're placing our faith in. Jesus. It's the God we serve. Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the God who created all things. In the beginning, God spoke, and the heavens and earth were formed. It's the very beginning of our Bible. In the beginning, right back at the start. We see it in John chapter 1 as well. And we see that our God created everything and still to this day what holds it all together. The stars he calls by name, yet he knows our name. Yet he even knows how many hairs are on our head. The bigness, yet the intricacy and intimacy of the love of the God that we serve is amazing. Have a look at this, Isaiah 40, 26. Look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Every ocean wave, every mountain peak, every leaf, every flower petal that's here today, as it says, but is gone tomorrow. Every breath we take bears the signature of our God. He holds the whole world, it says, in his hands. He holds the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Come on, you know it. The same hands that shape the universe are the hands that hold your life. He made the stars. In the beginning in Genesis, it's like a throwaway line. And God made the stars. It's like, poof, there they are. And he moves on. Oh, it is good. Just take a moment for those few little words to just consider. And he made the stars. He said stars. There they were. You know, they believe there's 100 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy. And they believe that our galaxy is only one of about 100 billion galaxies. The infinite God we serve. Just think about the sheer scale of that. And it didn't take him forever. It took him a moment. Stars. It is good. That's how big our God is. We're the pinnacle of his creation, though, aren't we? Humanity. You and I. And he loves us. And all of it was made for us. Everything we see, it's for us. God gave it to us. I also love, though, that God is the God who took responsibility for humanity. You think about it, from the very beginning, God steps in and covers sin, offers a sacrifice. And then we see Jesus coming down on behalf of all humanity. God, our heavenly Father, is a Father that has taken responsibility for his children. And in the greatest way, that he gave his one and only Son. You know this well, John 3:16. Have a look at that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave, gifted to the world. God doesn't just love us, doesn't just love Christians, loves humanity. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his Son to the whole world, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's the bigness of the God we serve. We see that it was a plan set in motion before the foundation of the world. That's what Revelation says, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Our Father takes responsibility for his children. In Genesis chapter 22, we see where Abraham promised Isaac. Isaac's born. Isaac then gets requested by God to be offered as a sacrifice, but then provides a ram to take the place of the sacrifice. He commands angels to sustain us as they sustain the universe by his word. He's not just the God who created it all or the God who took responsibility for humanity. He's a God who is beyond comprehension. You know, sometimes we try and reconcile God, don't we? We try and work it out. How the triune God? You know, we sort of, oh, you know, well, it's like H2O, isn't it? You know, there's like ice and there's water and then there's steam. Someone's like, well, we're made in his image. You know, it's like flesh. It's Jesus, isn't it? You know, Spirit, Holy Spirit, soul, the Father. We try and work these things out. But really, when you try and wrap your mind around God, we can't. We would be his equal. It's a good thing that we don't understand everything about our God, because he's the God we serve, he's the God we follow, and he's the God that we can place our faith and our trust in. spoke galaxies into being, formed man from dust and breathed life into him, commands the angels and sustains the universe by his word. Have a look at this, Hebrews 1:3. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Boom, just like that. Conquers death, goes up to heaven, sits down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Done. But now he's interceding for us daily, standing in the gap, championing us because he loves us. And he's got good things for us to do, good things for you and I, good things laid up for us to walk out. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. He's eternal, unchanging, and holy. He is merciful, just, faithful, mighty, and true. Yeah, come on. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Amen for that. He's Jehovah Nissi, our victory. Come on, he is all of these. He is light, he is love, he is Lord of all and King of all. And his name is above every other name. And not just the names, but the things within us that try and exalt themselves above his name. Jesus sits above it all. He's huge, he's awesome. Come on, Jesus is awesome. Our God is not small, our God is big. Very, 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 very big. Consider this, he's not uncertain. He's not weak. He's the God that created, redeemed, and he's the God that still reigns. Church, you can trust him. You can. He is trustworthy. Our concept of his trustworthiness, though, well, maybe this will never match up to the fullness of who he really is. We struggle often to trust him. We trust him, we see it come through, that builds us up a bit, doesn't it? We trust him again, and it builds us up a bit more. But then sometimes our trust maybe gets broken. And rather than even just going back one step, sometimes we go back a few, don't we? Sometimes it can be hard to build our trust in God again when we go through things in life. Placing our faith, though, in the one who gives us faith is a very good place to start. Have a look at this next slide. When we see God for who he truly is, when we see him for who he truly is, when we grasp even a glimpse of his greatness, the only reasonable response is faith. A little faith. Faith is the bridge between what we can't do and what only God can do. It's something that we have to walk through, walk over, go through. It's trust in his character when we can't see the outcome. That's faith. It's obedience when the path isn't clear. It's hope when everything else looks uncertain. Faith. Abraham, let's consider Abraham for a moment this morning, the father of our faith. He's called Romans 4:3. Look at this. The scriptures tell us Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham's story begins not with comfort, but with a call. God shows up and he's like, Abraham, come and follow me. Go to a new land and I will show it to you. And you read the journey of Abram at that point. It's wild. Like God says, shows up and says a few things and a few decades pass by. Like God then shows up and gives promises. And then it's decades before the promises come through. Yet Abram still went. Abraham still went. God asked him to leave his home, his family, everything familiar, what was safe, secure, and successful by human standards. Why? Because safety doesn't require faith, does it? Go to the land, I will show you. So he went. No map, no timetable, no GPS. Hey, Googs, take me here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and warn me of all those things along the way. Along Abraham's way, he was tested again and again and again. Faith for a promise, decades till he saw the child. Faith through disappointment, believing when it seemed impossible. Faith in surrender when God asked for Isaac, the very promise itself. Each test wasn't punishment, though. It was preparation for more. God testing his faith to see if what he could do with the little faith he could steward so that God could then entrust to him more. What can we learn from Abraham? Well, faith is not static. It moves. Faith obeys. When the outcome isn't visible, faith trusts God's voice above human logic. Doesn't make sense. Maybe it's not meant to. Maybe some things about our God will never make sense. And trying to work it out, maybe our mind could be consumed thinking about other things. You know, I know when I evangelize and I get stumped with something that I just can't answer. And I'm like, well, you know what? For this one, no, I just have faith. No, that's a cop out. I'm like, well, I used to shy away from that. But no, it's not a cop out. Because it takes a lot of faith to have a lot of faith in something that you can't work out. Yeah. Isn't that true? Yeah. Like, you think about the alternatives. They would take way more faith, in my opinion. Like, the faith to come from monkeys, and it's not still happening. When I was in science, back when they sort of taught things in high school that were actually somewhat believable, had to be repeatable to become truth. Well, I'm not quite sure we're seeing that happen anywhere ever, or still, it's just not a thing. I mean, if I take your phone apart, put it in a box, and you bang that bad boy into existence, and you let me know when that happens. Like, come on. There's design. There's intention to you and I. It makes sense when there's a loving creator behind it all. We have someone we can place our faith in, and we can have faith for more, for bigger things, for God things, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. He's big. We have a big God, so we can have big faith. You know, maybe you're holding back from stepping out on a journey. Maybe you're holding back from stepping into your ministry gift. Maybe you're holding back from starting something God has asked you to start. Maybe it's business, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's ending relationship with someone. It takes faith to step out and to place our trust in God, but can I encourage you, it'll always be the best. You've been called, just like Abram. You've been chosen. Come on, now you need to step out in faith and trust that God will do what only God can do. You do your part, and just let God do his part. And just see what happens. You know, Abraham showed us what faith looks like in action. But centuries later, we come to the story of the Roman centurion, and he shows us what faith looks like in Revelation. It's awesome. We're going to read it today, and it'll be on the screen, but if you've got a Bible, you can turn or scroll, whatever version you use, and Luke chapter 7. This is a really cool moment. This is just after the Sermon on the Mount has been delivered. Jesus he's started his ministry, he's gathered his disciples, he's been doing a few things, and then he comes and he's like, hey, this is the way. This is the way to live. This is my teaching. It's like this is me. I'm coming out and I am the one that you want to follow. And then straight after that, it's almost like God says, hey, you can put your trust in Jesus because of what he says, but you can also put your trust in Jesus because of what he does. And I love this. Verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. If I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Check out these red letters from Jesus. I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He turns to the crowd in amazement. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. The guy wasn't even there. The guy's faith in Jesus, so profound. Not a Jew, not someone who probably should have been putting their faith in Jesus, maybe religious, we don't know. Yet his faith astonished Jesus. You know, for this moment in Jesus' ministry, his authority had just been declared in the teaching. Now it's been demonstrated in miracles, cleansing, healing, calming, and raising. But this particular miracle stands out because there's no physical contact. It's all from the word. It's all from a heart of belief. And it sets up a pattern that then continues through Luke chapter 7 into Luke chapter 8. Healing the widow's son, forgiving the sinful woman, calming storms, casting out demons, raising Jairus' daughter. Each story expands on faith and authority, building towards Peter's confession in Luke 9, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What Jesus did, who he is, reveals God. The centurion, well, he was an outsider. He's not a minor character though, and he's not even a casual bystander. Like, they're begging Jesus to come and look after this guy because he was looking after the Jews. You know, a centurion, they were one that had risen through the ranks. They were of great discipline. They were accustomed to giving commands. A centurion, those that were in charge of approximately 100, 80 to 100, frontline leader, used to seeing results by human means. So by trusting in Jesus, not by sight, it's a big leap for this guy. Even his approach to Jesus would have been culturally bold. And the fact that he didn't even approach him in person, it's incredible. Should Jesus have responded and engaged the way he did? Isn't the bread for the children? This guy's humility, he sends others to speak to Jesus saying, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve you to come to my home. True faith always begins in humility. It's the first key to faith. We need you, Jesus. God, I can't do this without you. I need you. And it's not just when we have a need, church, that I want to encourage you this morning around faith, but it's when we're not doing what we could be doing. Because we need faith for the needs, but there's actually desires. It's the wants, it's the dreams that are locked up within us that God has placed there. And it's not just stuff that we think we want. These are things that God wants us to achieve. We need to have faith for those things as well. And we can't do the calling on our life without God. We need God. And so in humility, we come. His understanding of his authority. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. It wasn't, oh, Jesus, maybe you could just spend a moment praying and just beseeching heaven for me and with me. And maybe you could come around and maybe it could work. No, it's just like, if you speak the word, I know it will happen. Because that's the power that I see that you've got. That's the power that I've heard that you have. Our God is a very big God. The centurion saw what others missed, that Jesus' word carries all of heaven's weight. Behind the breath, it's the weight of heaven. It's behind you too, church. When you step into a circumstance, when you step out from a circumstance, when you get busy doing what God has called you to do, you step out, faith invoked, the weight of heaven instantaneously. Whether you see it or not, it comes behind you and it pushes you in. The next step laid up before you, the light to the path. Come on, it's the word of God. It's the breath of heaven. It's the weight of heaven coming in behind you. Jesus' response, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Church, faith isn't about having the right background. It's not having the right pedigree or knowledge. It's not having the right course or certificate. It's trusting Jesus. Sometimes people outside the expected circle see Jesus more clearly than those inside it. When we strip away the familiarity of religion and simply trust his authority, healing, breakthrough, and peace follow. Amen. Have a look at this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven." It's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Just leave that up for a minute, team. Turn from our sins and become like little children, or we won't ever get to heaven. Church, repenting and placing our faith in Jesus is the beginning. It's not the end. When we turn and we repent and we come before Jesus, that's the beginning. That's the start. We then have to have childlike faith to trust him. Have a look at this next slide. Childlike faith is not naive. It's pure trust. It's how it starts for little children. What does childlike faith look like? It takes God at his word, forgives quickly, expects good things, and believes without ever overcomplicating. And the older we get, the harder that becomes. Yeah? Because we've seen a lot, we've done a lot, we've endured a lot. So we overthink, and we overcomplicate. We've got to come back to the simplicity of trusting Jesus like a child. As we grow older, life makes faith complicated. Maybe disappointment or delay and doubt, they creep in. Jesus calls us back to that simple trust. My father said it, so I believe it. Little kids don't question it, do they? When you tell a child something, it's like gospel. They don't know any different because they haven't experienced anything different yet. They just believe you. You can tell them what's up and you can tell them what's down. And what's up is up and what's down is down. They just trust you. It's awesome when you listen to the prayer of a child. It's so cool. Faith doesn't have to be sophisticated, it just has to be surrendered. What do we do when faith is tested? Because there's seasons when faith feels heavy, when life doesn't look like we thought it would, when something happens that we thought, man, how could that happen? Or then there's those things that come along that were never even a thought bubble. Things that really, really test us. Some of the things that I've gone through where I experienced what I describe as desert experiences with God. I hear God so clearly for others, but yet he's hiding himself from me. It's like a desert journey. The time my younger brother passed away, the police were questioning us because he died at home. It was only a couple of days after, and they're like, "Well, what do you believe?" "Well, I'm believing for him to be raised from the dead." "Like, well, how can you believe that? How can you believe that?" "Like, well, I know a God who can do it. I've seen it done." Whoa, when's he going to be raised from the dead?" I'm like, "Well, hopefully soon." "I've seen in Scripture, you know, there was this one time, even up to 4 days, so it's not day 4 yet, so I'm still believing. I was believing and so was my family. We're in 24-hour prayer, praying around the clock, asking God to raise my brother from the dead." 4 days came, 4 days went. Funeral came, funeral passed. Do I still trust God? Do I still believe that God is good? It was 3 weeks before his 21st. He had just started a relationship. He'd just got a scholarship out of his university degree. He was just starting this job in the city in an engineering firm. He was my best friend. He was fun. He was awesome. He was a good guy. How can we reconcile these things? Behind it all, God's still there. God's still true. God's still faithful. I know where he is. If anything, it gives me even more hope for eternity. If anything, it encourages me to do what God has called me to do, to find as many other people as I can to tell them where my brother is and where I know that we can go to eternal life, a place called heaven. And I place my faith in Jesus, not because of what I see physically, but what I know. I choose in my heart to believe and trust in Jesus. You know, our faith, we don't avoid pain, we endure it. Faith doesn't erase questions, it anchors you while they're unanswered. Faith doesn't depend on outcomes, it depends on God's character. When you can't trace the hand of God, when you can't see the hand of God at work, what do we look to? His heart. Throw this next slide up, because I have three ways for you to begin re-engaging in faith. With simple faith. Three steps to return to simple trust in God. Number one, be honest. Start with humility. Be honest with God. He knows what you think anyway. He knows that you doubt him. He knows that you question his character. He knows that you don't really fully believe that he can do it. He knows it. So just come to him and be honest with him. Tell him your fears, doubts, disappointments. Because faith thrives in truth. Because what that does is it starts the conversation with God. No longer avoiding God, but you start to tell him why you can't trust him. Well, now you've engaged in conversation with Jesus. Step two, remember his goodness. As you start to talk to him, just start to remind you, oh, you used to do it for me. I've seen you do it in time past. You've done it for others. God, why aren't you doing it for me? So it's still not there yet, is it? We're still building our faith. We're still reigniting faith in Jesus. So we come to him in conversation. We humble ourselves. Then we start to remind ourselves of his goodness. Number three, walk with people of faith. Doing something like this helps. Get yourself involved in community of faith. Because if you're around other people where you're not being sharpened, when you're around other people that only add the darkness to the darkness, when you're around other people that don't believe in what you believe and don't have the faith that you have and they don't know the God that you know, they're not going to build you up. They're not going to push you on. They're not going to encourage you. In fact, quite the opposite. If at a bare minimum, they just won't do anything. But in a community of faith, as you start to hear of the good reports, and as you start to see, man, they're going through that and they still come. Whoa, they've been through that and they still love God. Man, they've been holding on to that one for decades and they still raise their hands in worship and they're crying every time I look at them when it's in the middle of like some epic moment. Trudy's like belting it out and leading us into the throne room of God. We get encouraged. We get built up. So step three, just be in the community that keeps faith alive. Faith isn't a feeling. It's to choose to trust again. Faith is a decision. I'm going to trust God. Keith, can you come and join me, please? Just to encourage you to have faith that amazes Jesus. Faith like the Roman centurion. The kind of faith that moves the heart of God. You surprise him. And it might not be with this large faith that you place in Jesus, it might just be that you place your faith in him again. He's waiting for you. He's called you as he called Abram. He's called you as he called Peter. He's called you, chosen you by name. Come on, let me remind you again this morning, the bigness of our God created the universe. We're seated in the palms of his hands. Come on, out of all the possibilities, you were chosen. Your DNA, your fingerprint, even the world believes that you are unique. You're the only you. There's something for you. There's something for you to do. And it's bigger than what you can do in your own strength. Church, we need God. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet this morning? Put that last verse up, please, team. Come on, if God can create the universe, if he can redeem humanity, If he can hold the world together, he can hold you too. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us. You and I carry the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You've got life-giving power locked up inside of you. Come on, you've got grave-defeating, death-conquering power that lives inside of you. You've got the ability for the breath of heaven to be declared. You can think the prayer and you can say the prayer. Faith. To have faith again in the God that can do it. To believe in the God that's done it in time past. He's been doing it around us. Well, he can do it for you too, church. Come on, would you close your eyes? Would you just start to spend a moment with him this morning? Would you pray? Would you start to maybe just tell him, come on, would you humble yourself? Would you remind yourself of who he is? Come on, would you start to tell him? Maybe start to pray for something that you're believing for, something that you've maybe stopped praying for as often as you once prayed for. Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning we bring before you family members not saved yet. Lord, we bring before you children that have walked away. God, we bring to you parents that are yet to say yes to you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we bring to you right now even the issues in our body. Lord, sickness, ailments. Lord, we bring to you even right now the things in our mind of doubt, disappointment. Lord, the things that have caused our faith to dissipate. Holy Spirit, right now, would you build us up again? Would you help us to be reminded of the bigness of our God? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that our prayers fall on the ears of someone who wants it way more than we do. Come on, let's just take a moment to pray for the humanity around us. Come on, why don't you just lift your voices and just start to pray for the people that you live next to, that they would see God through your life, that they would see God through miracles being performed through your life, that as you would pray and declare, as you would lay hands, that miracles would take place. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus for our family. You sent Jesus for our neighbor. You sent Jesus for our work colleagues, God. You sent him. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Come on, church, be reminded when you pray to Jesus. Come on, you're praying to someone who wants those around you to be saved way more than you do. Come on, he died for them. He loves them way more than you love them. So Heavenly Father, again we ask, come on, Holy Spirit, would you use us to speak, to preach, to show life and light and love to the world around us? God, would you inspire us, encourage us, help us to be bold and courageous, to go again, to share the good news again, in Jesus' name. Come on, why don't you just take a moment to lay a hand on your body, and we're going to speak the truth of the Word of God over our bodies this morning. Or if there's someone standing next to you that needs a healing in their body, come on, would you just take a moment even, church, would you raise your hand if you need something from God today? And if there's someone around you, would you just lay a hand on their shoulder? And I want you to pray the prayer of faith. This morning, come on, someone right near you's got their hand up. Would you lay a hand on them? If it's your body, come on, lay a hand on your head and let's declare the truth of the Word of God over our bodies this morning in Jesus' name. We choose right now, like the faith of the centurion. Lord, we know that if you even speak a word, it will be. And God, you have spoken the word. You are willing. And so, Heavenly Father, right now, we choose to declare by your stripes, we have been healed. By the brokenness of your body, we have been made whole. So right now, in Jesus' name, we declare healing power in this place. Even right now, Lord, we declare everybody in this place, every mind, freedom right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead your blood over everybody, tip of their heads to the soles of their feet. I declare perfect working order right now, in Jesus' name. God, we declare sickness goes right now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, things in our mind of depression and doubt, we rebuke it right now in Jesus' name. God, we declare your goodness over our mind in Jesus' name. Freedom, that cloud of darkness, freedom right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's just press in for a minute this morning, church. Come on, would you start to pray? If you can pray in tongues, come on, why don't you go and use that heavenly gift right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you to do what only you can do right now, this morning, in Jesus' name. God, to testify to your goodness, God, to you be the glory in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us. Lord, thank you that you are a healer. You are our provider. We have victory because of you. Lord, for those doubting their place in your family, God, for those doubting the call on their life, Heavenly Father, right now I pray that they'd be inspired, re-inspired to stand up and to step out to do what you've called them to do. Come on, church, tomorrow morning, this afternoon, would you step out? Would you step out into your journey? Would you come back to what God's called you to do? Leave your home of comfort. Leave your boat of comfort and step out. Place your trust in Him. Build it. Start talking to Him. Remind yourself of who He is. Let's be a group of people that prays prayers and lives worthy of His cross. In Jesus' name. This morning, if you're here, come on, every Christian, would you just be praying? Because I want to offer salvation altar call right now. To those in the room who don't have personal relationship with Jesus, if that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to choose Him. But declaring that you want to put your life in God's hands. I'm going to ask you to do that by raising your hand and say, yep, that's me. I choose Jesus. I want Jesus. Because He's real. He loves you. What you've been through so far, what you're going through, you get to do your future with Jesus. So today, if there's anyone here and you want personal relationship with Jesus, He has promised us that He'll come and dwell within. Life and life abundant. Life for now and life forevermore. It's not promised to be easy, but it's easier with Jesus. He's so good. If you're here, would you raise your hand right now if you want to start a relationship with Jesus? Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you, Sarah. I see your hand. That's so good. So good. Come on, can we celebrate that decision? Come on. It's awesome. It's awesome. Come on, Christian, would you close your eyes? Would you pray? Is there anyone else? Anyone else? You want to give your life to Jesus this morning? Anyone else? I encourage you, choose Him. Come on, church, would you repeat this prayer after me? My friend, if you would pray this conviction from your heart, dear Jesus, today I choose you. I choose you today, tomorrow, and forevermore. I give you my life, and I want what you have for it. Thank you for dying for me, for loving me, for choosing me. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate that decision again? It's awesome. So good. How good.